Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, and hope that everyone is able to enjoy it. So glad to have everyone here. Aren't the decorations so nice? Janet Cope does such a marvelous job in our church building. She just quietly does this. It's fantastic. So good. So this is difficult. How do you turn John 11 into a Thanksgiving lesson? For those of you who are visiting, we're looking at, through the Gospel of John, looking at Jesus, seeing Jesus everywhere. This is more of an Easter sermon, I think, but taking a lot of liberty, I'm going to call this an eternal Thanksgiving, and take a look at it. So just a couple of thoughts this morning. The mystery of life and death and the other life, or life and death that really isn't death because it's a life that continues. Does that sound confusing? Good. There's a mystery to our existence, that we've always been in the mind of God, that he said he would never leave us and forsake us, that we will be with him always, that even at the beginning when God created all things, we were part of that in his eternal mind, and we live for a time, and we move on. And throughout the Bible, there are pictures of people that you just can't explain it. The man Enoch, we really don't know much about Enoch, but he says he just walked with God. There was no end of his life. It was like he just went for a walk, and he's with God. And in a very real sense, that's true for all of us. There's a God that we walk with, and it's a continual walk. I think of other people that give us this nuance of life. The story of Melchizedek. Nobody has any idea where he came from. Nobody has any idea where he went. We know that he went to be with God. We don't know his parents. We don't know anything about him, except everyone knew this was a priest of God. And then cool stories that just tell us that death is not the end. The story of Elijah, the great, great prophet. And remember, he kind of gave the reins over to Elisha to say, you're going to take my place. The Holy Spirit is upon you. You're going to be a great prophet of God. As for me, I'm going to walk with God. And you can picture this in your mind. It's Elijah talking with Elijah, and then Elijah says, catch you later, in a very real sense. That's true for all of us. Catch you later. And he starts to walk. And Elijah thinks about it for a while, and then he goes, No, that's too much responsibility for me. Now, I'm going to go and get Elijah. I know where Elijah's going. I just saw him go over the hill. You have to read it sometime in the Old Testament. It's the coolest story ever. So then Elijah goes, no, I'm going to go get him. So he runs after him, and he goes over the hill. Where'd he go? I'll go over the next hill. He's not there. He's gone. And Elisha says, now, Elijah, your spirit must rest upon me. And God's Holy Spirit, of course, did. How do you explain all of those things that are physical and spiritual, and yet they're all intermingled together, birth and life and death? And when the people that you know and you love stay with you forever, how many of us have people in our lives who have been gone for 20, 30, 40 years, but you feel their presence often in your life? Anybody have that experience? Just about all of us. It just tells us that there's this ongoing story to life for all of us. Jesus is ultimately going to be raised from the dead. We know the end of the story. But there were other stories all throughout where Jesus gave a foresight to this. He raised the daughter of Jairus in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 25, the son of a widow in Nain in Luke chapter 7. But what's interesting about each of those resurrections is that those little children will someday grow, and someday their life will pass. And then the story today of Lazarus. Such an interesting story. that the resurrection is for all of us. And I think one of the hidden stories in all the Bible, because the highlight needs to be on Jesus, is in his resurrection. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John all tell the story, but Matthew says something that I missed for years and years and years about what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. Let me read this to you. This is found in Matthew 27, 52 and 53. I think that'll be on the screen. This is such a cool story. So Jesus was raised from the dead, and then it says this: the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after the resurrection of Jesus, and they went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and they appeared to many people. Isn't that cool? I mean, I just went in my own imagination. Can you imagine going to someone's funeral? And then a week later, you're maybe standing in your front yard, and here comes this person that you said goodbye to. And there isn't a lot of conversation that tells us what that's like, but I can just imagine what that was like. Hey, there are three people right here in this little community. I thought you guys were gone. Well, I don't know. We're not. We were, but we aren't. But that's true for all of us. We are, but we aren't. We're an ongoing part of the eternal story of God, of which you and I get to play a major part. Because our lives connect to so many people. And people come into our lives, and sometimes they pass, but they're always with us, and other people come, and we come into other people's lives. And this is the ongoing story of life. And that's why it's so important for us to put our faith and our trust and our hope and our life and our creativity and our imagination all into the one who knew us before we were born and always will know us, the one who is directing our paths, never to pull away, but to stay close to him all the way through. Somebody once commented, life isn't over until it's over. But I think there needs to be some additions to that. I think it needs to be said this way. Life isn't over until it's over. And when it's over, it's not over. It never has been over. And I want you to remember a couple of stories in the Bible. One of my favorite stories is what's sometimes been called the Transfiguration. Kind of a regal name. But I don't think it was so sophisticated. Jesus is kind of walking along. He has Peter, James, and John. He said, come on, we're going to go up this little mountain. So they go for a walk up the mountain. And then Peter, James, and John just kind of watch. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus. And there's Moses. And there's Elijah. Well, wait a minute. Moses and Elijah, they died eons ago. Like a lot, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But I don't know if the reason why Peter, James, and John knew that it was Elijah and Moses, because maybe Jesus said, hey, Moses, hey, Elijah. And they start this dialogue. And Matthew gives us, and Luke, actually specifically, Luke tells us the story of what they were talking about. So Peter, James, and John get to listen in. And Elijah and Moses are talking to Jesus about the departure of Jesus. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like when you transition? And Peter, James, and John hear about all of this. And I'm not sure if it was from that conversation that later, when John writes one of his epistles, 1 John 3 and verse 2, that said, one day we will be like him, a body that works on the earth. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he had that same body, a body that just works anywhere and everywhere, an eternal body. And then in the Old Testament, it gives us pictures of the ascension that would take place. And it's so interesting in the Bible how it's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. And for those of you who are members of our church, you're probably tired of me repeating this comment, that so many times after the resurrection of Jesus reminds everyone, You must remember, he said, that everything that happened to me was already written about me by Moses and the law and all of the prophets, as well as the Psalms. And so in one of these Psalms, Psalm 68, I guess we could put a moniker to it and call it the Ascension. I'm just going to read a couple of comments. The old writer says, sing to God, sing in praise of his name, the one who rides on the clouds, that one day we would see him go. And then a personal comment when the psalmist said, when you ascended on high, you took many, and you received the gifts from all of people, that the Lord God may dwell on the earth with us. See, the resurrection isn't so much about us going away as it is God eventually coming to us. God will dwell with us. That the world and the cosmos that God created will one day be complete and fulfilled the way God always intended it to be. And so in this story of Lazarus, Lazarus is kind of the key in the story, but he never says a word. He's gone. He's buried. And then Jesus comes along and he says something truly unique. But before I get there, I think I want to read a couple of passages of scripture. In Revelation chapter 1, listen to a couple of these words. Revelation 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, I am the first letter of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet. I am the alpha. And I am the last letter in the alphabet, omega. I'm the first and last of everything, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then later, he says that in verse 17 and 18, I'll read the latter part. So don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and of Hades. But I think the favorite for many of us, at least it's been for me, is in Revelation 21 and verse 4, where he says this, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And then he said this, I am making all things new. And that's for us. We're in the process of God making all things new, the way God always intended it to be. So we go back to this story. And we know the end of the story. And then some people started to question Jesus about all this. In John chapter 11, starting in verse 32, says this, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, now can you imagine saying this to Jesus, who has already raised people from the dead? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And I love the scripture. This is kind of a sidebar. Grace Porter was our Sunday school teacher for years and years. And our homework every week was, you've got to memorize a passage of scripture every week. And every week somebody came with John 11, 35, Jesus wept. I can remember that scripture. But then the Jews said, see how Jesus loved him. But some of them said, could not Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind man, John chapter 9, have kept this man from dying? Could he have? Yes. Why hadn't he? Because death is never the end. It's never the end. The question is, why isn't Jesus powerful enough to do this for everyone? And the answer is, he is. And so the response was, see how he loved them. Some of them said, could he not open the eyes of the blind man? See how he loved this man. Why couldn't he keep this man from dying? There are people who always want to argue the scriptures. And one of the cool nuances of scripture is it cannot always be defined because the mystery of scripture is mysterious. And we don't like to hear that. We want every literal transition we can get, and it's not meant to be. See, for many of us in North America, we read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Many of our Jewish friends have never read it. They sing it as a poem, not dismissing any truth, but the reality of we will never fully grasp this. And part of the mystery of God is his mystery. But sometimes we want all of the answers. It makes us feel better. But how many times have we had answers and then we go, that just didn't work. I'm sorry, that's just not going to work. We have to keep some of this mystery with us so that maybe we are not the recipient of Thomas. And when we read Mark chapter 16, the latter part of Mark chapter 16, repeatedly Jesus said, lack of faith. The disciples had a lack of faith. Jesus had appeared to them, and they still didn't believe. Okay, so that last 2 minutes of my conversation, I think we need to hear, I need to hear, I need to hear, I need to hear, over and over and over again, what Jesus said to Thomas and the rest of the disciples. Maybe looking directly into our eyes and hear the words of Jesus. Stop doubting and believe. Believe what? Believe me. Stop doubting and believe me. If Jesus asked every person here today, do you trust me? I bet you all of us, most of us would say, absolutely. Then stop doubting. I've got everything under control. You. I have you. Right here. Now, last part is so cool. John writes, I think, with a twinkle in his eye, because here he is raising Lazarus from the dead. And I don't mean to be comical, but I think it's okay to laugh. But in John chapter 11, let's just look at this last part, particularly in verse 43. So here Jesus is praying to God about raising Lazarus. And so verse 43, it says, and when Jesus had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I have to stop here. How many remember the name Marshall Keble? Anybody remember Marshall Keble? Great African-American preacher. And he was once preaching on this topic. And he said, do you know why he had to specifically say, Lazarus, come out? Because if he didn't say Lazarus, anyone who was dead would have come out. So he said, Lazarus, come out. And then it says, the dead man had his hands and his feet wrapped with strips and linen, a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off his grave clothes and let him go. How many of us wear grave clothes today? Does fear and worry dominate your life? Does loneliness dominate your life, even though you have one who is right beside you every second of your day? Does exclusion, does anger wrap you up? I think today for all of us, on this wonderful weekend of Thanksgiving, thanks be to God, especially because of Jesus Christ, who reminds all of us that the story of Lazarus is that life is eternal, and whatever is gripping us, wrapping us tight, remove those grave clothes. Stop doubting and believe the life that Jesus is giving us is free. Let all that other stuff go. Trust him, love him, and thank him with all our heart.